This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. We're so excited to introduce you to Great Jones. Great Jones makes high-quality, thoughtfully designed cookware that's so stunning you won't want to put it away. They have everything from Dutch ovens to ceramic dishes to non-stick sheet pans. They've got everything you want. I have the Saucy, which is a terrific saucepan. It has curved sides. It has a pouring spout. It has a lid. And it looks so elegant. It's really a pleasure just to look at it on the counter, even before we're using it.
Yes, I love all the colors.
Yeah.
They make stunning gifts that are actually useful. Weddings, housewarming parties, birthdays. It's the perfect gift for the foodie in your life. So upgrade your kitchen and replace those old rusted hand-me-downs with bold, beautiful, long-lasting pieces from Great Jones. Get started today at greatjones.com and get an extra 15% off your first order with promo code HAPPIER. That's greatjones.com, promo code HAPPIER.
Hello and welcome to Happier, a podcast about how to be happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative. This week, we'll talk about why we should deal with anything negative right away, and I apply my four tendencies framework to various famous characters from real life movies and books, with a special emphasis on Game of Thrones. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, the sage, Elizabeth Kraft.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA, but today I am in New York, my favorite place in the world.
Yes.
I am with you live. We can look at each other.
Yep.
It's so much fun.
Yes.
We're going to get spoiled.
I know. We've gotten to do lots of recording together lately.
Have.
That is so fun. Now, here is an update from something that we talked about in episode 215. Elizabeth, I gave myself a demerit about forgetting to use delay delivery so that I'm not bombarding people with email over the weekends and holidays. And several people suggested something that I have to confess had never occurred to me, which is to put a line in the signature of my email saying something like, I like to work at odd hours, but don't feel obliged to respond unless it's during the regular work week or whatever. So do you think people actually read what's in a signature?
I always read what's in a signature.
You do?
Yes, I do. And one thing I do, Gretchen, if you didn't want to do that, is I put for Monday in the subject line. So that, like, you don't even have to know what the subject is.
Right.
The subject is for Monday.
Oh, it doesn't even, like, say for Monday,
you know,
podcast planning
right.
or something.
No, it just says for Monday. And then the person knows it's not anything they have to look at until Monday.
See, the reason why that might not work for me is part of my problem is I don't even realize it's the weekend a lot of time because I don't think about my, because my day is so, my work feels very much the same. So a lot of times it doesn't even occur to me to note the day of the week.
Yeah, so maybe you should have a signature line.
Maybe I should have a signature line. Now I have to remember how to go back and bust with my signature, but I think I can figure that out.
It's an ongoing issue.
But again, I thought what was great about this is like, don't try to change yourself.
Right.
Like, don't be like, Gretchen, stop emailing on the weekend. Say like, Gretchen, given the fact that you will relentlessly email, how can you set it up so that it doesn't bother other people?
I think it's a good
idea. Like some kind of automatic. Okay, so thank you, listeners. That I have to say, that was a whole new idea for me.
Now, I want to remind everyone that Mother's Day is coming up very soon. So if you need a gift for a mother in your life that's quick, easy, free, and yet very valuable.
Invaluable, dare we say.
Priceless.
Yeah.
Give the gift of a podcast.
Yes, go to giftofpodcast.com. If you enter your email, you'll get a two-page kind of certificate. One is a page that you can fill out for the mother in your life with a podcast, you know, to, from, and the podcast that you think she'll love, like whether it's Binge Mode or
Bitch sesh.
Bitch sesh, or whatever you think your mother would like. So that's like something you can like tie a ribbon around and give it as a gift, like a gift card or something. And then the second page is a cheat sheet on how to subscribe. If you need to help that person subscribe, or if they want to have something to refer to, if they don't remember how to subscribe after you show them.
And Gretch, I wouldn't be a good sister if I didn't point out that your books also make great Mother's Day gifts. All of them.
Yes, thank you very much. That's great. And another gift, we have heard through the grapevine that there are mother-daughter pairs who are coming to our live events. This is like, if you're looking for like a little mother-daughter adventure, come to one of our live shows. Go to gretchenrubin.com/events for all the information. Detroit, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, we are coming your way. Though, Alyssa, I think Minneapolis is sold out.
Yes, yeah. It is sold out. But you could bring your mom to Milwaukee or to Detroit and have a great bonding evening.
Exactly. Now, try this at home this week. Now, this tip, Elizabeth, is about dealing with the downsides. Mm. And this is the tip that if there's something negative that you have to grapple with, do it right away, even if you feel like putting it off, so that it stops bringing you down.
What's interesting to me about this try this at home tip is that it feels very obvious.
Yes.
And yet I feel like so many of us don't do this. It's like the lesson that you need to learn over and over again.
Yeah, because if something's negative, like your instinct is to turn away from it and postpone it and to think like, I'll deal with it later. And I don't want to
bury it in the sand.
Yeah. But the problem is then you have to keep re-experiencing it over and over.
Yeah.
Like I had this because somebody sent in a very critical email. And so I needed to respond. And I'm like, I should make myself respond to this right away so I can respond and delete the email. Mm-hmm. Because if I keep seeing it in my email inbox, then every time I see it, I'm going to get that little jolt of bad feeling. Why would I keep re-jolting myself when I could just, to mix the metaphors, I could just bite the bullet, get rid of the jolt, eliminate myself from this whole, you know, negative sensations.
Yeah, it's funny, Gretch. I just went through this recently because I won't go into all the details, but the WGA, which is a guild I belong to, is having a conflict with the agencies.
Yeah, this has been a huge story in the media.
Huge story, yes. Yeah. And as a result of this, Sarah and I had to sign a letter basically saying we were no longer going to be represented for writing by our agency until they are in compliance with what the WGA wants. And we love our agent, Matt. We've been with him for 20 years.
Yeah, if you listen to Happier in Hollywood,
he's been on Happier in Hollywood.
He's been a couple times.
But we had to sign this letter. And so we both wanted to do it like the minute it was available.
No, I was with you. Remember, we were in Kansas City.
Yes.
We were in Kansas City. I was doing an event. So Alyssa came and joined me. And we were sitting at the dining room. We were just sitting around chatting, all of us, like drinking coffee. And you looked down at your phone and you're like, oh, here's the letter. I have to sign it and send it. You were like, I got to get this thing out right away.
Just because it was so unpleasant that Sarah and I just were like, let's just get it done so we don't have to like say, when are we going to do it? Should we do it now? Because we had to do it. And I will say Adam like wasn't signing his because, you know, unlike me, he'll put things off. And it gives me such anxiety because I have to keep thinking about the fact that he has to sign it. It's all just so unpleasant.
Yeah.
It's still unpleasant, the whole situation, but at least that's done. And I don't have to think about it.
Well, and you don't have to look at it or kind of be confronted
with
it. I guess there's a proverb, which I had never heard until recently. The stewing is worse than the doing.
Mm, and I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that's very helpful. Now, the one thing I will say is that you want to respond right away, but you also want to be wise because you want to think like, am I in a frame of mind right now where I can do this? Because like signing the letter, it was literally, I think you just signed your name.
Yeah,
so you could do that. But like, let's say I had this critical email where I wanted to write back in kind of a thoughtful, open-hearted way. Well, I'm not going to do that at 11 p.m. when I'm exhausted because I'm not in the frame of mind where I can shape my words and my response in the way that I'm going to want to do. And maybe I even want to like let it linger and give myself a little time to think about it before I fire back. So this is not just like,
it's a balance.
It's a balance because you don't want to do things impulsively if they need to be carefully thought through or sort of timed with a consideration to like, am I really hungry? Am I in a rush? Like, am I taking my time with something that I want to be thoughtful about, but not procrastinating?
Yes. You know, a piece of advice Sarah and I got early in our career, which I think is, again, to the getting the negative out of the way as fast as possible, is if you have to fire someone, better to do it as soon as they walk in the room.
Oh.
So somebody said, if you're going to fire somebody, don't like have a whole pleasant conversation and then like build yourself up to it. You need the second they walk in, say something like, you know, this isn't going to be a good conversation
or something to let them know
it's not working out.
Yeah.
And we haven't had to do it too many times, but we remind ourselves of that before the conversation.
Right.
And I do think it's for everyone, it's much better.
Right. No, I think it's an easier kind of psychological balance on both sides.
Right. Because you don't want to like lull someone into pleasantness.
Right. They're thinking, oh, I think I might get fired, but now we're having this great conversation about, oh, hi.
And I think it goes also, of course, for like any sort of unpleasant procedure, like dental work, whatever. It's like, it's so true that the month in your mind of like, oh, I'm getting a root canal in a month is worse than the actual root canal.
Well, I remember with your fibroids, like part of it was that you couldn't do it as fast as you wanted to. Yes. You had to wait because of like logistical things. And it was just like, gosh, I just want to get this over. I want to get past this.
Yes. Yeah. And Gretchen, to that point, I had my fibroids taken out like on my terms. I was in control because I did plan it, even though I knew it would be unpleasant.
Yeah.
And if I had put it off,
kind of indefinitely, like which, I'll deal with it in the springtime, in the summer, I'll do it.
Yes, which I could have done.
Yeah.
It may have been taken out of my control because, like, for instance, those can start hemorrhaging. And I know someone that's happened to where suddenly she was in the emergency room getting emergency surgery, unplanned, not with a doctor she chose, not at a hospital she necessarily chose. And that happens a lot. So it's like by not dealing with something negative, you can actually make it way more negative and a much worse experience.
Yes.
So better to be in control of it than to let it control you.
Well, and sort of using that figuratively, you can imagine like in a workplace where if you keep postponing and postponing, events keep moving on and something that might have been kind of a clean action becomes more complicated because events sort of are accelerating in ways that you didn't anticipate and that like make something much more complicated situation than you'd bargain for. And so there's just something about like, once you know what's got to be done, pick your time and move forward. And then you'll just feel so much lighter and freer once it's over with.
Yes.
So let us know if you do try this at home and how dealing with something negative right away works for you. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com. Or as always, you can go to everything related to this episode at happiercast.com/220.
Coming up, we've got a happiness hack Gretchen discovered on her latest book tour. But first, this break. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/happier. That's StoryWorth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. Okay, Gretch, what is this hack?
This is a hack that everybody in the world has discovered except for me. But in case you are like me and you are a late adopter, I wanted to say that I really now use electronic boarding passes. I have downloaded the apps for every airline that I fly with. I check in online. I get the electronic thing. And for years, I was like, I just like having paper. Like, what if my phone doesn't work? What if my phone runs out of batteries? And, you know, it just felt very iffy to me. And I liked having the piece of paper. And I was sort of in denial about, like, I'd have done an event. It'd be 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. And I'd be wandering around some hotel lobby looking for the business center. And then, like, the printer's out of paper. And, you know, it was always this thing to get the boarding pass printed out. Finally, I was like, I see everybody doing it in the airport. Yeah. Like, why don't I just really try? And it was very hard to force myself because it felt like not having the safety net. And a couple of times, one of the things I did is I was flying with Jamie and I was like, okay, this time I'm not going to have paper because I felt like he's very resourceful. I'm not resourceful. So I was like, if there's some kind of problem, he'll deal with it. Yeah. I'll make him do it. And then I saw how it worked. So that kind of eased me into it. But it's so much easier. And also, if you use the app, like, you get all kinds of updates and you have extra information. Yeah. It seems like, ugh, I don't want another app on my phone. But it actually is something that is really, really useful.
Well, and can I point out, you can also do a screenshot of it if you want to just have it in another location.
Or you can add it to wallet. That's what I do. Because I have an iPhone. You can add it to your wallet.
So,
or
a screenshot. I just screenshot and texted it to myself so that I had it in numerous locations. Because I do have a fear of not being able to locate it.
Yeah.
So that's another just easy thing to do.
Right. Well, and you also told me something that I didn't know, which is that they can always just print it out at the airport.
Of course.
See, I didn't know that. So anyway, yes, I know. I am not their friend. I mean, I feel like, is this even a hack? But it was for me. It really did make me happier.
Stepping into technology.
Make it work for you. Yeah. Now, listen, this is something I am so excited to talk about. It's a question from a listener related to the four tendencies.
Yes, this comes from Neil. He says, I am an obliger and see many folks of great accomplishment as yourself to be upholders and sometimes rebels. Are you aware of any biographies or fiction books that highlight characters that you know or suspect to be obligers? I would like to read more about obligers.
Now, Elizabeth, before we should go on, we should say, if you have no idea what we're talking about, you can go to quiz.gretchenrubin.com and take the free quiz. It will tell you if you're an upholder, a questioner, obliger, rebel, and explain a little bit about it. But we will just assume that people know what we're talking about for this four tendencies tip.
So, Gretchen, I think a lot of people ask you this question about what people in fiction are different tendencies.
Yeah, or real life,
Yeah. So go through some and tell us for all the tendencies, not just obligers.
Okay. I will start with Game of Thrones because, you know, Game of Thrones season 8 has just started. We're both huge fans of Game of Thrones. And so here are some examples from Game of Thrones. And I should say, this is from the TV show. I have read the books twice, but I've seen the TV show much more recently. So I am referring to the canon of the television show. Okay, so upholder is Stannis Baratheon. Mm. He's definitely an upholder. He thinks he ought to be king. The rule is he should be king. He doesn't even really seem to want to be king, but he feels like he has to be king. And he does all sorts of terrible things because he feels like that's what he has to do because that's what's right. Tyrion, who I believe is your favorite character. Yeah, he's a questioner. And he's the one who you really see saying, like, why are things the way they are and how can we do things better? He's really interested in efficiency and fairness. Jamie Lannister is an obliger.
Okay, so Neil, you and Jamie Lannister.
You and Jamie Lannister. Now, interesting, Cersei, his sister, is a rebel. Mm. And this isn't a good example of when you have a pair of people and one is a rebel, usually the other one is an obliger. So Cersei's a rebel and he's the obliger. Daenerys Targaryen, also an obliger.
See, that's interesting because I think a lot of people would think she's a rebel.
She's not, though.
She's an obliger.
You don't see her, no, because she's an obliger. Jon Snow is also an obliger.
Yeah, now he seems like the ultimate obliger because he's always just so put upon, even, you know, being brought back to life. Yeah, he's like, oh, here I am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll do my role.
Yeah. But he shows you like how great obligers can be. How heroic they are.
Yeah.
And the thing is, one of the kind of the challenges of, that was fun to think about with Game of Thrones is, you know, we can't know what people's tendencies are from just seeing how they act. We have to know the way that they think. And with these characters, we have heard enough about the way that they think and see a pattern in their actions that can show their tendencies. But for some major characters, you can't tell. So Arya, for example, I'm like, is she a rebel who tips to questioner or a questioner who tips to rebel? It's hard to tell. Like with Steve Jobs, I debated and debated. I had to read like 100 biographies of Steve Jobs before I decided he was a questioner who tips to rebel. I think that Arya is a rebel who tips to questioner.
Interesting.
Tywin, who's one of my favorite characters, he could be an obliger, but I think he's an upholder. I definitely get an upholder vibe from him. Maybe just because he constantly says things like, why can't people around here just like do what they're supposed to do? Which is a very upholder thing to say.
Yes, I think he's absolutely an upholder.
You do?
Yes.
So you get the vibe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, there are people I can't tell. I can't tell Sansa. I can't tell Varys. I can't tell Peter Baelish. I can't tell Margaery. These are some of my favorite characters.
And for the people out there who aren't Game of Thrones fanatics, Gretchen, who are some other famous tendency people?
Okay.
Like, upholder. Who are some upholders?
Okay. Probably the most famous upholder in the world is Hermione Granger.
Harry Potter.
Taylor Swift, I'm pretty sure she's an upholder. If you have read the masterpiece novel, The Remains of the Day by Katsuo Ishiguro, the main character in there, the butler named Stevens, is an upholder. And I actually wrote a post, which I'll put a link to in the show notes, which is, I think this novel is a wonderful example of why being an obliger could be better than being an upholder in certain situations, how it could save you from certain kinds of outcomes in the way that obliger rebellion is meant to do. So I think that's a really interesting novel to think about in terms of like the strengths of being an obliger versus an upholder. I mean, if you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, of course, Captain Raymond Holt and Sergeant Amy Santiago are both upholders, and they bond about being upholders all the time.
So, and you said Steve Jobs, you've decided is a questioner.
Steve Jobs is a questioner. Megyn Kelly is a questioner because I did an interview with her and she told me she took the quiz. Jane Eyre is a questioner. On the very first page of the novel, her aunt says, I hate questioners. Jordan Harbinger, if you listen to his excellent podcast, he told me he's a questioner.
And then obligers, there's a ton, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Andre Agassi, who wrote a great book.
Yes.
Is an obliger.
Yes. If you read his memoir, Open, Neil, you will see your tendency on display. You know, and obviously Andre Agassi is like an extraordinary performer. Drew Barrymore, you know, we did an interview with her. She said she was an obliger. Tiger Woods, obliger.
Well, that makes sense.
Oprah, obliger.
Yes.
In the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, you will see George Bailey is an obliger who's going through obliger rebellion spectacularly. Similarly, Richard Simmons, if you listen to the terrific podcast, Missing Richard Simmons, which was our old...
Henry Malofsky.
Yeah, our founding producer worked on that. That's also an example of obliger rebellion. Tony Soprano, Katniss Everdeen, Princess Diana. If you read the novel Family Happiness by Laurie Colvin, that main character is an obliger who's in full obliger rebellion. If you're a fan of Rachel Hollis, it's quite clear that she's an obliger. So it's many, many famous obligers.
Yeah. And it is interesting how so often in literature, you want to catch an obliger when they're in obliger rebellion. That's the interesting time.
Yes. It's so dramatic. Yes. It often is portrayed.
Oh, gosh. I hope I don't enter full-blown obliger rebellion one of these days.
Well, you're an obliger who tips to upholder.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm hopefully safe.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there is a very famous rebel in our midst, Trump.
Yes, I think his detractors and his admirers alike will comment on how he wants to do what he wants to do in his own way, in his own time. Picasso is a rebel. Moby, you know, we interviewed him a while back after he came.
Yes, the musician Moby.
Yeah, with his memoir, Porcelain. He's a rebel. Chris Guillebeau, our friend and the host of the brilliant podcast, Side Hustle School, he's a rebel. Thomas Merton, he's a Trappist monk who is very famous to some people and not famous to other people. You're like, how could a Trappist monk be a rebel? Okay, well, I spent like 1,000 pages writing about that and then deleting it from the Four Tendencies book. Susan Sontag is a rebel. Here's a brilliant quotation that a friend of hers, Sigrid Nunez, recalled. She writes, I was concerned that arriving late would be frowned on, but Susan insisted this was not a bad thing. It's always good to start off anything by breaking a rule, she said.
Something you and I would never say.
Exactly. So anyway, this was such a fun question. I love thinking about the four tendencies in action. Listeners, if you have any great examples of seeing the four tendencies in real life or in books or in movies, send them my way. I am keeping a giant document tracking the four tendencies in the world.
Okay, Gretch, it is time for a listener question. And want to remind everyone that another way to reach us is to leave a voicemail question at 774-277-9336, or easier to remember, 77-HAPPY-336. And this week's question is from Melanie. She says, I would love your thoughts on social media. We hear so much about how bad social media is, but you both appear to have a positive relationship with it. Do you have a philosophy that guides your use? Do you have tricks to keep it from becoming a distraction, or is it just not an issue? How do you avoid the negative emotions associated with social media? Any hacks?
Listen, this is interesting. This is not something that you and I personally struggle with that much. You hear a lot about it, but I don't think it's a big issue for us in our lives.
No, I mean, if anything, for me, as I have mentioned before, it's like more of a time suck.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of like jealousy, envy, all of that, which I think a lot of people experience.
Yeah, for me, it has pros and cons. I think I really experience the pros of the sense of connection and like the easy links to other people who I otherwise wouldn't be connected to, like the kind of background information in people's lives. Like, I really feel the benefits of it. Yeah. And I feel like I don't experience the negative sides of it very much.
Well, I think I really, and you also understand that people are just presenting their best selves or their fantasy selves. Yeah. So I don't look at it and go, oh my gosh, look at them on the beach with their golden retriever. Yeah. Everyone's wearing a crisp white shirt.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm such a mess.
Yeah.
I just think, okay, well, I can imagine the haranguing and the nagging and the dog running around and everyone being like, are we done yet? Are we done? I don't, I love seeing the picture, but I don't take it as, oh, they're these living this ideal life.
Yes.
You know, I just kind of automatically filter.
Yeah. No, I do too. And I think it's because like when it's somebody that I know well, I know all that stuff because I know it from other parts. And so it just keeps reminding me, this is a snapshot. It's not the whole movie, and not to read too much into it.
Yeah. And I also think like maybe for Melanie, maybe she's on too much social media.
Yes.
Like I post like on Instagram mostly. And everything else, I mostly just kind of, you know, read stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe if she kind of honed in on her social media, the one that's best for her, that she enjoys the most, that would help.
Or maybe follow fewer people if she feels like it's creating kind of a cacophony in her head or creating kind of a vibe that she doesn't like. If she really unfollows a lot of people, so it's just people that she's meaningfully connected with. Because I think when you're actually closer to people, you're not as persuaded like, oh, they have this fabulous, perfect life, because you know what the real life is.
Well, and another good point, Gretchen, is I think there's a need some people have to follow people they hate.
Oh.
You know, and to like take in.
Or the frenemy.
Ex-girlfriend. Don't follow people that you don't like. If someone's posts make you unhappy, don't look at them. You'll never know they exist if you don't look at them.
Yeah.
So it's like control your own intake.
You control your intake. Yeah. Again, technology, good servant, bad master. Yeah. So take control. But here's another thing to think about. If you are looking at people's pictures and they're making you feel envy, it's always good to say, why do I envy them? Because maybe the bad feeling isn't because of them. It's because you're thinking like, they always go on these great trips and I don't. It's like, well, maybe the answer is, well, maybe you need to plan a great trip. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, look, she's having a party. It's like, well, maybe you want to have more parties. Because sometimes the bad feelings are actually a very helpful kind of alert system for us.
That is true.
And so really you might turn away from the bad feelings, or you might say like, well, why are these giving me bad feelings? Like, oh, their family looks so perfect and happy. Well, maybe I feel like I'm spending too much time screaming at my kids. Like, I remember when I wrote the Happiness Project, a big thing was that I was like, I'm not being the kind of parent that I want to be. Uh-huh. I'm being too short-tempered. I'm being too sharp-tongued.
Uh-huh.
So that was helpful to realize that. And I think sometimes when you see pictures where it's sort of presenting a different view, it can kind of make you have that feeling about yourself. Sometimes that is not helpful, but sometimes it could actually be helpful.
Yeah.
And so to embrace it if it's showing you something instructive about yourself.
I could even say the example I just used, the good picture on the beach.
Yeah.
I could say, well, perhaps that's me noticing that I have not done a family portrait.
I should, you know what I mean?
Because that's like, the example that automatically sprang
to mind. And you're like, oh my gosh.
That is something I really need to do.
Oh, so interesting. There you go.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Well, this is a really interesting question. And I think it's something that a lot of people face. So if you have any good strategies or tips that have worked for you, please send them along. Because I think this is a place where we can all learn from each other.
Absolutely. Coming up, I give myself a Game of Thrones demerit, but first this break.
You know, Liz, it's important to me to be a treasure house of happy memories, but sometimes it's hard to frame something that you want to keep. Like I have had pieces of children's art that I really wanted to frame, but it's kind of unconventionally sized and it's hard to do. But Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or you can visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your pieces in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free.
Gretchen, I realized I didn't have a recent framed photo of you and me and mom and dad, and I really wanted one. So when we were in Kansas City and took a great picture, I uploaded it, sent it to Framebridge, and now I have a beautiful framed photo of us. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Elizabeth, right this second, I am wearing my sweater from Quince. It's the Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater in Everglade green. It feels so great, and it came in so many gorgeous colors. I love this green.
Yeah, Gretchen, I got the same sweater in white, and I absolutely love it. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen.
Okay, it's time for demerits and gold stars. And Elizabeth, this episode is your turn to give a demerit.
Yeah, so Gretchen, this isn't the most profound demerit, but it is one that I'm annoyed with myself for.
Okay, yeah.
Which is I did not properly prepare for the last season of Game of Thrones.
Ooh, now what homework were you supposed to have completed?
Well, I really wanted to rewatch the whole series, which so many people are doing that.
It's a lot of time.
But a lot of people are doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think millions of people are rewatching the entire show. I mean, I've seen it all over.
I would have if I could have.
And so I did not do that. I think partly it's like so much of it is so unpleasant. I just don't want to relive it.
Yeah.
But I at least thought I would watch the pilot because I know the pilot sets up so much. But I didn't even rewatch the pilot. So I just like came in completely cold. No refresher on who anyone is or what's going on.
You didn't even read like...
the compilation,
nothing.
Yeah. You know, I love it so much and I want to eke every bit of enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I failed.
Yeah. It's time, you know, but I know that feeling like you're like, I would enjoy it more. If I brought more into it, I would get more out of it. And Game of Thrones is definitely something like that where there's a lot of subtlety.
I mean, you've read it numerous times, watched it numerous times. Our parents are on their third
viewing. Our parents are so into it. It's so funny. We had like a very long family conversation about the Iron Throne.
So I would be better able to make my arguments if I were more up to speed. But anyway, what is your gold star?
Well, we were in Kansas City. We all met in Kansas City because I was doing an event. So you very nicely came to and we had like a little family adventure. And we were walking around the plaza, which is a shopping district near where our parents live. It was so fun. I want to give a gold star to Kansas City Plaza because there are these giant Easter bunnies, kind of, I don't know.
Statues.
They're kind of...
Figurines.
Figurines, but they're like 6 feet tall. They each have a name, like Brian. And they're just these bunnies. I will post a link in the show notes to a picture of two of our favorite bunnies. But they're exactly the same bunnies.
Yeah, they put them out every Easter season.
Yeah, and it's like the kind of thing that you get such a huge kick out of when we... And I hadn't been home at this time of year for years. And so I don't think I'd seen the bunnies since like high school.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you forget they exist.
I completely
forget. But then the
forget.
Second you see them, it brings back your entire childhood.
Oh my gosh. And I had this that wave. And I'm so happy that Kansas City has just like didn't update.
Bunnies.
Like there's no like new... like high def version of the bunnies. It's the same old bunnies.
Yeah.
And we just got such a kick out of it. That continuity with childhood.
Yes.
It's just such a pleasure sometimes to see these. Like you say, I forgot, I remembered.
Yes.
Yes. And that is it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Handle something negative without delay. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
Thank you to our executive producer, Chuck Reed. Also, thank you to our engineer, Bob Tabador, and everyone at Cadence 13. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Instagram at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Liz Craft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
If you like the show, as always, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting app. It really does help other listeners discover the show. The resources for this week, if you would like to connect with other Happier Podcast listeners or readers who enjoy my books, join my free app, The Better App. You can also join or create an online accountability group if you are an obliger, like Daenerys Targaryen or Jon Snow, who needs accountability. You can join the community on any computer at betterapp.us or look in the App Store for Better Gretchen Rubin. It's free. And if you are looking for an easy but personal gift idea, consider the gift of a podcast. Remember, you can print out the certificate that you can customize and give at giftofpodcast.com. Finally, we want to see you on our podcast live tour. I think there are still tickets left for Milwaukee and Detroit. Go to gretchenrubin.com/events for everything related to the live events.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
So have you mapped out the tendencies for other characters on like another show?
Yes, Parks and Rec, which I'm obsessed with. Perfect examples. Upholders, Leslie and Chris. Rebel, April, of course. Ron is a questioner who tips to Rebel. And Obliger is the, you know, Larry, Jerry, Gary character and also Andy.
So we can watch them all play out their tendencies in Pawnee, Indiana.
Yeah. From the Onward Project.